The bear, whose real name was not Mir, but something else entirely, made his way through the forest like a moving building, a shaggy tower with reddish-brown eyes. Those eyes glowed with fever and madness. His huge head, now wearing a garland of broken branches and fir needles, swung ceaselessly from side to side. Every now and then he would sneeze in a muffled explosion of sound. Hachoo! And clouds of squirming white parasites would be discharged from his dripping nostrils. His paws, armed with curved talons 3 feet in length, tore at the trees. He walked upright, sinking deep tracks in the soft black soil under the trees. He reeked of fresh balsam and old sour shit. The thing on top of his head whirred and squealed, squealed and whirred. The course of the bear remained almost constant, a straight line which would lead him to the camp of those who had dared return to his forest, who had dared fill his head with dark green agony. Old people or new people, they would die. When he came to a dead tree, he sometimes left the straight path long enough to push it down. The dry, explosive roar of its fall pleased him. When the tree had finally collapsed its rotten length on the forest floor or come to rest against one of its mates, the bear would push on through slanting bars of sunlight turned misty with floating motes of sawdust. 3. 2 days before, Eddie Dean had begun carving again. The first time he tried to carve anything since the age of 12. He remembered that he had enjoyed doing it, and he believed he must have been good at it as well. He couldn't remember that part, not for sure, but there was at least one clear indication that it was so. Henry, his older brother, had hated to see him doing it. "Oh, look at the sissy," Henry would say. "What you making today, sissy? A dollhouse? A piss pot for your itty-bitty teeny-peeny? Oh, ain't that cute?" Henry would never come right out and tell Eddie not to do something, would never just walk up to him and say, "Would you mind quitting that, bro? See, it's pretty good, and when you do something that's pretty good, it makes me nervous, because, you see, I'm the one that's supposed to be pretty good at stuff around here. Me, Henry Dean. So what I think I'll do, brother of mine, is just sort of rag on you about certain things. I won't come right out and say, 'Don't do that, it's making me nervous,' because that might make me sound, you know, a little fucked up in the head. But I can rag on you because that's part of what big brothers do, right? All part of the image. I'll rag on you and tease you and make fun of you until you just fucking quit it, okay?" Well, it wasn't okay. Not really, but in the Dean household, things usually went the way Henry wanted them to go. And until very recently, that had seemed right. Not okay, but right. There was a small but crucial difference there, if you could but dig it. There were two reasons why it seemed right. One was an on-top reason, the other was an underneath reason. The on-top reason was because Henry had to watch out for Eddie when Mrs. Dean was at work. He had to watch out all the time because once there had been a Dean sister, if you could but dig it. She would have been 4 years older than Eddie and 4 years younger than Henry if she had lived. But that was the thing, you see, because she hadn't lived. She'd been run over by a drunk driver when Eddie was 2. She'd been watching a game of hopscotch on the sidewalk when it happened. As a kid, Eddie had sometimes thought of his sister while listening to Mel Allen doing the play-by-play on the Yankee Baseball Network. Someone would really pound one, and Mel would bellow, "Holy cow, he got all of that one. See ya later." Well, the drunk had gotten all of Gloria Dean. Holy cow, see ya later. Gloria was now in that great upper deck in the sky, and it had not happened because she was unlucky, or because the state of New York had decided not to jerk the jerk's license after his third OUI, or even because God had bent down to pick up a peanut. It had happened, as Mrs. Dean frequently told her sons, because there had been no one around to watch out for Gloria.